This is your classical break, your daily dose out of classical music. I'm Tyler Alderson, and today we're finishing up with Debussy's first book of preludes for the piano. In yesterday's episode and in May's episodes on La Mer, we've touched on Debussy's inspirations from outside music. He loved poetry, literature, paintings, but of course, he was a composer, so today we'll discuss a bit his musical development. Debussy started out as a child prodigy, enormously talented on the piano, and admitted at the age of 10 to the Paris Conservatory. When he was 22, he won the prestigious Prix de Rome, a prize for composition that sent the winner to Rome for further development. Berlioz, Gounod, Bizet were among the past winners, and it could have been a huge step in Debussy's career. But he really didn't like the music there, especially Italian opera, and didn't even like the food, which I find particularly amazing. Only a Frenchman could complain about Italian food. He was, however, impressed with the music of Franz Liszt, the retired piano virtuoso who was living in Rome by that point. Liszt's friend Wagner also left a big impression on the young Debussy, but Debussy's music didn't quite follow in Wagner's footsteps. Debussy himself once called Wagner, quote, a beautiful sunset that was mistaken for a dawn. In other words, the end of an era rather than the beginning of a new one. Wagner's use of music as a means of personal and emotional expression left a mark, but Debussy found his music too bombastic. Instead, he applied some of Wagner's principles to a much more intimate style of composing. Rather than creating plot-driven epics, his music focused on moods and images, sometimes fleeting, sometimes a bit more permanent. He said himself that he didn't necessarily want to make people think, remarking, quote, it would be enough if music could make people listen, despite themselves and despite their petty mundane troubles, and never mind if they're incapable of expressing anything resembling an opinion. It would be enough if they could no longer recognize their own dull gray faces, if they felt that for a moment they had been dreaming of an imaginary country, that's to say, one that can't be found on the map. That might sound like a sort of patronizing view of the audience, and it speaks a bit to the difficult personality that we talked about yesterday. But it also shows a composer focused on the experience of music in the moment, rather than a more cerebral understanding of its complexities and the specifics of harmony. These preludes are a great example of that, these little scenes that each give us a glimpse into another world. The first one we'll listen to today has a definite plot. It's the Interrupted Serenade. The music has a vaguely Spanish flavor, giving the sense of a busy street where a young man is trying to serenade his lover. There are a few tender moments in the prelude, and in the middle, you'll hear him strumming his guitar ready to sing, but each time, he's interrupted by the surrounding din. And you know that quote about the imaginary country? Well, here it is. The Sunken Cathedral, the second prelude, is based off a folktale from Brittany about the lost city of Ys. It's a sort of Atlantis-type story, a thriving city of high culture that's engulfed by the waves. On clear days, the cathedral rises out of the water, only to sink back into the depths. Debussy paints the scene with a soft opening that slowly builds as the cathedral rises to the surface and then falls off as it sinks again. The final two both give a nod to the lighter side of music. The second to last, Puck's Dance, trips along and references the trickster fairy common in literature. Minstrels, the final prelude, references the Puck of Debussy's day, the entertainers of the boozy music halls, where light melodies and chunky harmonies on the piano ruled. Here's Ivan Illich with the last four preludes of Debussy's first book of preludes. Thank you. last prelude in Debussy's first book, Minstrels, which is an ode to one of his favorite places, the music hall, where he often found a bit of a respite from the serious music scene that he was a part of. The lighter melodies and the comedy that he found there was a nice diversion. Thanks to Ivan Illich for putting those recordings up on museopen.org. And thank you for listening. If you have the chance, please rate and review this podcast wherever it is that you're getting it. I'm Tyler Alderson, and tomorrow for your classical break, we'll be listening to Suk's Meditation on an Old Czech Chorale. I'll see you then.